Hi. Well, unfortunately, since I don't know what specific your business, I don't know specifically what you do, it's going to be very hard for me to make this program targeted for your ideal needs. And actually, to be perfectly honest, it's not really a business-centered program. And candidly, I got to tell you the truth, there's just not anything very new that you're going to pick up here. So why don't we just go right ahead and get started? Oh, let's call that take one. I don't think it went very well. Let's try it again. Fortunately, regardless of the business that you're in, everything that we cover in this segment of this program is going to have direct application in your professional life, and it's not limited to your professional life because how you communicate affects your success in your business, but in every area of your life. And I'm happy to tell you, this is not based on some, scientific breakthrough that is unproven. No, it's common sense, it's down to earth. You're going to immediately have it resonate as something that you already know in your gut. We're going to focus on how to put it into action. Let's get started. Oh, okay, let's call that take two. Any difference? I'm George Walther, and every word matters. Hey, in a video situation like this, you're immediately paying attention to the person who walks into the camera, and you're thinking, uh-oh, is this person going to be any good? Are we going to enjoy this program? In a live seminar situation, your presenter walks on stage, and in the first few seconds, you're sizing that person up. Am I going to like being in this person's audience? Doesn't that happen in every encounter with everybody? You formed some very rapid conclusions about what this program would be like. And what I want to do with you now is to home in on exactly what you paid attention to. Now, you may notice that I said the same three facts. I said that I don't know your particular business and this program. At first, I said, unfortunately, isn't going to be able to be tailored to your business. The second version, I said, I don't know your particular line of business, and I'm confident that what we talk about here will have direct application. The second fact I said is that, in the first instance, well, it's not really specifically for business. And in the second version, I said that it's for business and your personal life. And in the first version, take one, I said, well, gosh, honestly, you're not going to learn anything new. Second time, I also said you're not going to learn anything new. But what you notice is that the words I used to describe those same three facts either had a very positive or a very negative impact. It's all about how you choose to communicate. So here we are in a video situation. Let's suppose that I were walking on stage in a live seminar situation. You'd go through that same analysis point. At this stage, I'd stop you. I'd say, okay, wait a minute. Who had a distinctly negative impression right from the start? And some of you in the audience would be raising your hand right away without any question. I want to get out of here. And I'd come over to you and I'd ask, well, what is it that gave you that negative impression? People always come up with the same three reasons. And those three reasons, by the way, are the same things that you use in gaining first impressions of other people. And they're the same things that other people are using when they gain first impressions of you. First, there's certainly a nonverbal component. Someone stands in front of you, you're looking at how do they dress, what's their posture, what's their facial expression, are they smiling? You may have noticed the difference between take one and take two. One of the differences had to do with my body posture. Now, even though I'm in a video situation here, I didn't walk in saying to myself, oh, be sure and slump down, be sure and look enthusiastic. I didn't have to do that. All I needed to do was remember that the first word out of my mouth would be, unfortunately. Because as soon as I said unfortunately, I heard myself say it, and my body just naturally kind of slumped, unfortunately, like, oh, bad news here. So people size you up based on a nonverbal component, certainly. They also listen to how you express yourself, not just the specific words, but your tone of voice. Naturally, they determine whether you're going to be an enthusiastic person, a fun, friendly, outgoing person, by your tone of voice. In fact, from your tone of voice, they infer what your attitude is like. So they're paying attention to the nonverbal, they're paying attention to the sound, the tone, and they are also absolutely noticing every word. Perhaps not consciously, they're not writing it down, say, what words did he use? But every word matters. And in fact, that's what this entire series is about. Every word matters. Now, if those are the three factors that are important in projecting your image to others, and if they're important in you sizing others up, here's a question I have for you. Words, tone of voice, body language, and nonverbal. What would you say is most important? If you were in the audience now, I'd say, okay, do you believe in the power of positive thinking? Well, of course, every hand goes up. And yet, if you want to be successful in business, have great friendships, be successful in life, say, let's see, what'll I do? I'm thinking really positive. Where's my success? It would be absurd to say that sitting around thinking positively creates great outcomes in life. Oh, it's an important component. And I'm very happy to tell you that while he was still alive, Dr. Norman Vincent Peale sent me a letter. Of course, he's the author of The Power of Positive Thinking. Sent me a letter after he read my book on the subject that we're talking about here in this program and endorsed it absolutely. Because what you say influences how you think. So if it's not just thinking positively that creates success, how about this? Would you say, how many would say actions speak louder than words? And again, in an audience situation, every hand's up. Actions speak louder than words. Absolutely. And yet, don't you meet people who have perfect posture, their wardrobe is ideal, they turn to shake hands with you, the eye contact is absolutely spot on, the handshake is just right, and yet, what you're thinking is, what a dork. They're a hollow shell. They're going through an act. They're pretending. There's no substance there. I'm not here to tell you that how you sound or what's going on in your head or even the words coming out of your mouth are what individually form your success in life. What I am here to say is that each of those influences, each of those factors, acts upon the others. What happens in your head, what comes out of your mouth, and what's happening nonverbally, all are connected. What we're going to do in this program is not focus on posture. This isn't a nonverbal communications program. It's not how to sit around and think positively. In this program, we're going to focus on the specific words and phrases that you say during the day, every day, in business conversations, in informal exchanges with friends. Because the fact is, every word matters. It matters to them, and it matters to you. Now, they're not the only ones listening. You listen to yourself, too. And as you hear what you're saying, your body language gets in line. Of course, if you were to describe yourself in a negative manner, it goes into your brain. You think less of yourself. Everything is connected. And that's our starting point here. There is a profound and deep connection between what you think, what you say, and what you do. So there are three really big reasons to be highly conscious of your word choice through the course of a day. And first, of course, they do shape the impressions that you project to others. I was fortunate to have a cellular phone company, a major one in the West Coast, ask me to join them when they were interviewing two finalist candidates for their top customer service position. There had been many applicants. They'd narrowed the field down to the two people who they thought one of these two is going to be the best person, most qualified. Now, in this case, the interview took place in Seattle, and one of the two candidates actually lived in Seattle. And so the individuals making the decision were concerned that that person might have a sort of hometown advantage. The other person was coming in from Phoenix. So they decided, okay, here's what we'll do. Instead of having one person perhaps have a leg up on the other, let's level the playing field. What we'll do is create a list of identical questions. We will deliver the questions to both candidates at the same time so that when they come in for the interview, it'll be a level playing field. Let me tell you what happened. Here we were in the boardroom with the other executives who were responsible for making this decision. The first candidate came in. He happened to be the local guy. Excellent posture, dressed well, had a smile, nice eye contact, shook hands with everybody around the boardroom table. And he began by saying, well, I have this list of questions. Unfortunately, I only got them 2 days ago, so I really haven't had as much time as I would have liked to really prepare for them. Also, I should tell you at the outset that I'm a very quick learner. However, I don't have any experience in technical fields like yours. I've been in the banking industry, and I know cell phones are a pretty technical business, but I will pick it up. I'm sure I'll be very good. I'll be able to get this quickly. And then he proceeded to answer the questions. And his answers were excellent. The questions were along the lines of, you know, you've taken over leadership in the customer service department. You've been told that there is an individual who has some trouble getting there on time. This person comes in late on the first day, late on the second day. On the third day, the person is again late. You bring this person in. How do you begin the conversation? That was the kind of question. His answers were excellent. Then the second candidate came in. Happened to be a woman. She had come in from Phoenix. She looked good. She dressed well. She had good posture. She made eye contact. She shook hands all around. Then she started off by saying, I appreciate your sending me these questions. Fortunately, I got them 2 days ago, and that's given me a great opportunity to organize my thoughts so I can discuss them with you here. Also, I would like to acknowledge you because you're doing something that's very unusual in a high-tech field such as yours. Typically, computer companies and phone companies and software companies, they hire from within their same industry, so the ideas from one company get recycled around to another company, and there's not a lot of fresh thinking. I can see that you want things to be different here because I have no technical background. I've been working with Federal Express for the last few years, and I've learned a thing or two about customer service. I look forward to bringing that fresh thinking into your industry. And then she proceeded to answer the questions. Her answers were no better than the other guys. Who got the job? Of course, they both had said the same things. He, though, said, unfortunately, I only got the questions 2 days ago, so I haven't had much of a chance. She said, fortunately, I got the questions 2 days ago. That's given me an opportunity to organize my thoughts. He said, well, you know, I have to be honest. I don't know much about your business. She said, fortunately, I don't know much about your business. It's not the facts, they said. It's the way they said them. You and I go through life being analyzed by others all the time. It's not so much the facts we put across. Your image is determined in the other person's mind by how you state those facts. Sure, your body language comes into play. Certainly, your tone of voice is a part of it. The specific words and phrases you use do shape others' opinions. And because your success in life depends on working with others, you want them to size you up positively. So first, every word matters because it shapes your image. Second, those words determine if the other person is going to cooperate with you or not. Now, yes, we're going to talk about persuasive phrasing in this program, and we'll also explore phrasing that blocks cooperation. Let's suppose we were in that live seminar situation. I'd look for an individual in the audience who seemed not to be well known by others, and I'd have that person stand up. Let's say the individual has a mustache. I'd have that person stand up, and I'd privately say, "No, tell me what you do. What company do you work with? Are you any good at it?" And then I would introduce that individual to the audience. as people are introducing themselves to you all the time. I would say, you know, I'd like you to meet Dr. Smith here. He's an oral surgeon. He works in Renton, Washington. As you can see, he takes good care of himself. He dresses well, but Dr. Smith has a mustache. And I notice his facial expression change. And I say, wait a minute, let's try that again. And I would repeat the exact same introduction, except now I would say, Dr. Smith takes good care of himself, he dresses well, and he has a mustache. And I'd ask my audience, notice any difference? Immediately, people say there was a huge difference, and what it comes down to is one little three-letter word. If I say, but he has a mustache, rather than and he has a mustache, it's going like, okay, he's a good guy, but he's really not a good guy because he has a mustache. Or it can be two ideas existing side by side. What the audience doesn't see, that I see talking with the individual, is the facial expression dramatically changes as soon as you use the word but, because it's a conflict word. So the second reason it's important to be very attentive to your words, every word matters, the second reason is because it determines whether or not you're going to get much cooperation from the other person. If you say but, you pit the other person against you. If you say and, you're both working on the same team. There's a third reason too, and I think it's the most important. The third reason to be conscientious about the words you choose to use is that they impact your own brain. You're hearing yourself. You're your most important listener. Now, this seems like common sense, and it really is. It's just that it's not very commonly practiced. Now, in my opening a few minutes ago, I told you that this was common sense. It's basic. Well, it is. It is also scientific, though. And for the real science between the power of your language, I will refer you to Dr. Martin Seligman's outstanding book, Learned Optimism. Dr. Seligman talks about people's explanatory style. Now, let's say there were two roomfuls of people in two separate seminars right now, and you and I had the opportunity to go listen in on them. One of them was a seminar for people who are high achievers in life. They've had things go right for them. Their professional lives are fulfilling. They are successful in their personal relationships. They've had financial success. They've got good things are going right for these people. And in the other room, we've got losers. Nothing is going right for them. You and I could listen in on these same two groups of people, and we'd notice they speak a different language. Oh, it's English, but they use completely different types of words and phrases to describe things. Now, according to Dr. Seligman, you could categorize this as their explanatory style. And here's what that means. There are three measures of explanatory style. Let's suppose that something really good happens. Winners experience something really good, and the winners say, "Yay! Another instance of things going right in my life. Not only are things going right in this area of my life, things go right in lots of areas of my life. And I know that's because I've been planning well, I've been working hard." They, in other words, single out what they have done to create the successful outcomes. The same good things happens to the losers, and they say, "Well, for once, one thing went right. But this is the only thing going right. Everything else is awful in my life. And I know why, too. It's because I'm a loser." That's when things go right. What about when things go wrong? Well, the winners say, "Overall, things go really well in my life. This is a rare exception. Once in a while, things don't go as I wish they would have gone. And let me keep in focus the reality that lots of other things are going right in my life. And let me examine my role. What is it that made things not go quite as right? Because I'm going to be able to change that behavior." Losers, on the other hand, experience something bad, and sure enough, they say, "Yeah, see, there's proof. Things always go terribly in my life, and it's not just this part of my life. They're awful in all areas of my life. And you know why? It's because I'm just no good." So, The people in the room who succeed in life and the people in the room who are losers in life can take the exact same facts and have a completely different reaction to those facts. Now, as we listen in, you could analyze their language. We could scientifically say, well, what is the difference between these people? Our purpose in this program, though, whether you choose to delve into the science or simply accept the common sense, the foundation here is that it pays to consciously alter your language. Now, I want to sell you the idea on the value of paying attention. I want to sell you on the notion that every word matters. Here's the way I feel people make the best decisions in life. Actually, they make all decisions, good and bad. Let's suppose you're watching late night television and there's a commercial for one of those Ginzu knives. They're telling you, and wait, and there's more, and you get this, and order in the next 30 minutes, and you get that too. And it's the Easy Tree payment plan. Here's what they're doing. I picture people making decisions in this way. They stand in front of you, and they weigh two factors. They're weighing, what am I going to get, and what do I have to give to get it? So good marketers are very conscious of the need to make this side heavy. You get the handy-dandy gizmo that goes with it, and you get the discount price, and you get this extra thing thrown in. Order right now, and you get two of them. It gets heavy. You want to picture the other person standing in front of you going, whoa, I get all that? But then there's this side. What do I have to give up to get all that? And that's why good marketers are so careful to make sure you know that it's really easy to buy from them. They split the payments up and so forth. Well, maybe you're not in marketing. Or aren't you? Aren't you and I always in marketing? Aren't we always selling our ideas and our notions to others? We want them to cooperate. That's why we're paying attention to our language. So here we are at this point saying, if I pay attention to my language, if I accept the notion that every word matters, what do I get? Well, you get a more positive image. It might be a job interview situation. It might be a first date. It might be any encounter where you run into someone for the first time. You get a more positive image. You get more cooperation from other people, and you feel better doing it. But what do you have to give up? What's the cost? What's the price? Nothing. It costs nothing. So, my point here is simply this. Every word matters. Your decision to pay attention to the specific words and phrases you use in projecting your image to others, in seeking their cooperation, and in motivating yourself make a huge difference. Every word matters. Now, if we were in a live seminar situation, I'll tell you about an exercise I would love to conduct with you. Done it many times, always has the same result. Here's the way it goes. I'd ask you to pair off with someone who you do not know. And of course, you've been in plenty of seminars where typically you go in and you sit with a friend or someone you work with. So I'd separate you. I'd have you sit with a stranger. And once you were seated with a stranger, I'd have the light suddenly go black so you wouldn't be able to see the other person. And I'd give you these instructions. I'd ask one person to have a speaking role and the other to be the listener. The listener's job is to totally focus on what the other person is going to say. Don't interrupt. Don't let your mind wander. Just pay attention to the other person. Now, if you're the person with the speaking role, I'd give you the instruction to tell your partner everything you can think of to say about your all-time favorite dessert, or some innocuous subject that has no business connection at all. And everybody would kind of go, oh, I get to talk about my favorite dessert. I'd say, all right, ready? Go. And you'd start talking about your favorite dessert, or you'd start hearing your partner talk. And then I would suddenly, and of course the room would be noisy, everybody's very eager to talk about their favorite dessert. Then I would say, stop, hold it right there. And I'd put up on a screen a list of adjectives: confident, outgoing, clear-thinking, intelligent, all positive adjectives. And I'd ask the listeners in the audience to quickly write down four words that describe their partner's personalities. And I say, don't do, this is not psychoanalysis, just your quick gut impressions. What are four words that you think describe this other person's personality? And people get ready, they have no trouble at all coming up with four words. And then I would say to you, if instead of rushing you, I had said, take your time and start writing a little essay about this other person. Here's some words to get you started. Don't restrict yourself to four of them. Go ahead and just start writing what the other person is like. And I'd ask you, could you have picked more than four words? Well, everybody raises hand. Could you have written four sentences? Absolutely. Four paragraphs. Some people say they could write four pages about the other person. And then I ask this question. How long did you have to get to know this person? People say, well, only a couple of minutes. Wrong. When I said go, that was only 13 seconds. I only gave people less than a quarter of a minute. And yet, they have no trouble in less than a quarter of a minute coming up with a whole paragraph, three paragraphs, pages to write about the other individual, because we form our impressions so quickly. Three things happen in less than a quarter of a minute. Now, naturally, I've turned the lights out because so often in life, we gain our first impressions of others by phone. We don't see what they're wearing. We don't see what their body posture is. Yet, we make inferences about what kind of people they are very quickly. In less than a quarter of a minute, three things happen. First, you project, or if you're on the receiving end, you perceive a very full, rich impression of the other person. We're ready to write pages about them. Second, we gain those impressions from specific aspects of the way they communicate. It doesn't matter what dessert you're talking about. You don't say, oh, rhubarb pie, I know what kind of person you are. It's not what you say. It's the words you use, the tone of voice, and also body language comes into play, because even though the lights are out, you can hear if someone's smiling. You know, there's a big difference between, you're my favorite customer, I'm so glad you called, and you're my favorite customer, I'm so glad you called. Your facial expression changes the way you come across to others. So one, you project an impression quickly. Two, the impression comes from specific aspects of the way you communicate. And three, you controlled it. If, for example, you hired me to be a bill collector in your dental practice, and I didn't get any bills paid. And you say, well, George, what's the deal here? None of the patients are paying their bills. What are you doing? I say, well, gosh, I don't know. They come in and I shake hands with them when they come into the office. And I say, well, I wonder if you possibly might be able to make a payment. And you would say, what? Come on, George, don't tell me you shake hands that way. Don't tell me that you have that tone of voice. Don't tell me you use words like that. You'd say, take control and change it. And that's exactly what this program is about. Every word matters. Sure, you can change your body language. Yes, you can change your voice. The easiest thing to alter, and since it impacts the way you think, therefore the way you sound and the way you act, the easiest way to place your focus is on your words. Every word matters. You and I, in this program, are going to learn exactly how to change the words you use in everyday conversations, business interactions, and personal interactions to project the most positive image possible, to gain the most cooperation you can get from others, and to give yourself the advantage of positive self-reinforcement, self-motivation. Every word matters.